So it's a privilege, and sometimes a challenge, to read through your Bible and read what God says and go, well, how do I put that into something which is small enough to have enough time, in a sense, because, I found a lot of information in the Word of God this time. I was chatting with Richard. He said, I'll find 3 points. Find those, the 50 things and break them down into 3 points. I said, well, we might have to run with the 50 this time. So Jesus calls us on to many, many things. And, as we heard in the Bible readings, obviously, the first one in Isaiah, Isaiah is prophesying here. In this day, there was just before chapter 40, there had been a lot of hardship, turmoil, and this is the beginning of a lot of chapters where Isaiah is bringing great things of God. So this prophecies. Isaiah prophesies against the backdrop of the Assyrian threat against Judea and Jerusalem, and it shines a promise on the restoration of the land. But these verses, they also point to John the Baptist. They also point to, and that shows in Matthew 3:3 and many other places. And we were blessed last week to have Richard bring us some meaty sermon, bring us the word, about John the Baptist and preparing our hearts. And I just wanted to follow through with that this week as well. And hopefully challenge us to see what does Jesus call us on to. Ultimately, Jesus is calling us to look to eternity. Where is our hearts? Where are the hearts of the people who don't know him? In the other reading in 2 Peter, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. How does that make us feel? Do we think about these things as we go about our day? I think we do at times. I know as I was growing up through the church, there was probably more fire and brimstone preached and, be ready for the coming of the Lord. And maybe we don't hear that so often today. But you never know. You might walk out the door and get hit by a bus or someone slam into your car. Is your heart ready? Is your heart in a place to meet your King? And that's the challenge I want to bring us today as we look beyond our doors, as we look to Christ coming, as we look to Christmas. What did God give us? What gift did God give us in Jesus? And it's pretty amazing. So this, in Peter, this was written roughly 30 years after the resurrection of Christ, when this part of the Bible was written. And so they were having challenges then. It was a reminder to the people in the church at that time. These are the things that we need to stick to. So important passages in Peter. Also, it includes passages about concerning the transfiguration of Christ. The inspiration of the scriptures, so the scriptures being brought to us through God, and it really talks about Christ and the second coming. But don't forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you. Patient. He needs to be patient with us. Because we're a bit slow. Or we... I know I am. I know as I was putting this through, I'm thinking of myself, you know, and what, how life is. So don't for any minute think that I would be standing up here and going, this is what we need to do, this is what we need to think, or this is what you need to do, because this is what I need to do. Because the Lord is patient with us. Why? Because he wants to have a relationship with us. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance, so we can have a relationship with Christ. So we're thinking eternal as well, his kingdom eternal. To gather through my notes, so please be patient with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Now in John 3, 16 and 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever would believe in him shall not perish and have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. I think this scripture is used a lot in different times, but it's amazing. It's amazing that God would send his own Son. Ultimately to die on the cross for our sins and for our life, and to resurrect, to rise again, and to, that we can join with Christ, that Christ is our brother, that we are sons and daughters of the Most High King. It's amazing how God has brought us into relationship with him. That we don't now have to go through a priest, as in the Old Testament, but that the curtain was broken, you know, and that we have access to the Lord, the God Almighty. So God wants relationship with us. The New Testament, where as Jesus was beginning his ministry, one of the chief Pharisees, Nicodemus, came up to Jesus and was asking questions. Couldn't believe who this Jesus was, this man who spoke with authority. How can someone be born when they are old? This is where Jesus had been speaking about being born again. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. You should not be surprised by me saying, you must be born again. So Jesus is calling us on there. He's calling us into his kingdom. There's something different. Now I added this Well, I didn't add this in. This is part of the reading. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. And that stood out to me. I thought, okay, yeah. He was putting that in to the same at the same point as being born again. That we are born of Christ. You know, John the Baptist asks us to be born, says that we should be baptized in water, but one will come who will baptize us with fire and the Holy Spirit. So Jesus calls us on to many things: to love God above all else, to be born again, to love our neighbour. Jesus calls us to go into all the world, to preach the gospel, the Great Commission. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. There's a whole sermon there. I'm sure Anna could fill us in on that one. But Jesus calls us in many, many ways. He also calls us to consider our future glory in heaven with God. So we can go along our day just thinking about our day. That are reminding in this passage in Isaiah, in the prophecies there. It's calling us to look beyond just our time here on this earth. But at the moment, we are the people on this earth. We are the bodies and the spirit here. So what's God going to do with us? What did God do with Moses? What did God do with Abraham? What does God do with people who desire to follow him? It's interesting, God calls certain people out. But I believe we need to be hungry. We need to be hungry to have relationship with God, to be in a place where God can work in our lives, work through us, so that we can be his light where we are in the world. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. It's interesting when we look at I think of walls around or something, and I feel like, yeah, we need protection at times in our lives from the enemy's arrows, things shooting our lives. So this reminds us of God's patience with us. From the reading today, do not forget the one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So the Lord is patient with us. From Psalm 29, verses 10 to 11, the Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as King forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. In the first line there, where the Lord is enthroned over the flood, there's references in the Bible that speak of beginning of creation, where the Lord is enthroned over the waters, and also references to the flood, new creation. And the Lord is King forever. I think sometimes we get along with our lives. Do we remember that God is, I can't think of the verse, but God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Isaiah 55. Yeah. And so when things happen in our lives, we can try to put them into our brain and work things out. And yet God is higher. He has a higher plan. And God cares for us. God knows who we are. So which of you, if your son asks for bread, and this is from Matthew 7, will give him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. So God is a good God. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? From Matthew 6:26. So when the worries of our life can get us down, God cares. He knows our heart. And these are a small pick of verses in the Word of God. It is incredible what is in the Word of God. You know, I know that we've been reading through the Word more lately, and it's incredible how you can get on a little path with my study Bible and following lines and linking things together and reading, and I certainly feel out of my depth many times and think, where is this heading? What's God saying? But you know, that we pray about that and ask God to direct us and show us in his word what he's speaking. And talk to others. It's amazing. It's amazing what other people can have an impression in our lives. Godly people, godly leaders, elders. You know, that we shouldn't be walking this life alone. But we need people around us. People who will stand with us, and people that we can bounce things off. So I want to challenge us today as we, you know, leave here with a message of Christ coming, of his birth, of what that brings us. Not that I'm talking a lot about that, but I'm wanting to encourage you that God is with us. But it's not always easy out there. How do we get alongside people? I think that can be a difficult thing at times. And sometimes we will face persecution. Possibly not as Anna has experienced it, and in various other countries where the Christian church is, they find it hard. We have so much freedom here, but how much do we actually step out, and how bold are we to go in God's strength? Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And so if we continue to go with an eternal thoughts, you know, that God is more than what we just need for now, I think it's important. In 1 Peter 5:6, it says, "Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time." And so we need to go with God's strength and with God's boldness, because we can't do it in our own strength. If we're going to walk with God and with the Holy Spirit directing us, then we need to be empowered. We need to be in the Word. We need to be praying and asking and seeking God to strengthen us, and know that he will, you know, care for our needs. But he wants to speak to others, and we are his hands and feet. This passage in Mark 4, where Jesus is speaking, I've only picked a certain part out of here. It's talking about the seeds being sown onto rocky ground and seeds being plucked away by birds. Actually, that might not be in this spot, but anyway. But Mark chapter 4, verse 17. "But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away." So that's, Jesus encourages us to stay in the word, be planted, be rooted into Christ. One of the songs earlier was talking about the vine and the branches, or I was reading about that as well, and you know, the similar plus spot in Mark, that Christ is the vine. We are the branches. We cannot do anything on our own without being rooted in Christ, without the Holy Spirit feeding us. Jesus calls us on. There's a lot of challenges that I was reading as well with what Jesus asks us as he sends his disciples out, as he shares with them, "You go and make disciples of other nations." We need relationship with Jesus, the Word of God, and prayer. Really important that we spend time. What is the peace of God in our lives that we can pass it on? I believe if we're connecting with Jesus, we have a relationship with Christ, that God gives us peace, that we know that we know that we know that he is in us and that we are in him. So who are we going to be today and tomorrow as we go out into the world, into this busy time? Anyone been to the shops lately? I've tried to avoid the shops. But we find that probably lots of thoughts going on. What should I be doing for Christmas? Or should I be buying a gift for this person? Or what should be going on? I'm sure there's a bit of stress and anxiety out there And I would pray that our hearts would be open to where we go and the people that we connect with. Are we meeting? What do we have coming up? Events in our lives or places that we will connect with people, our work colleagues or Christmas parties or things that are happening where we have opportunity to speak? And I would pray that we would speak boldly of Christ at this time of Christmas, when we celebrate the birth of Christ and we celebrate what God has done in sending his Son. Because we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. You and God. Jesus calls us on. He says, come follow me. So Jesus calls us very strongly at times in the Word and very challenging in the way that he calls us. You know, at times he says, drop everything, leave it, turn, do not look back and follow me. I know as I read through the New Testament and the Gospels, I'm really challenged at times to go, well, how can I do that in my life? I've got this, this, this and this, or I felt like God has asked me to do these things. How can I just put that aside and do what God has asked me to do? And I feel that that's where reading the Word, that's where having a relationship with God, with Christ. Having the Word as a whole in our life and understanding. Ultimately, salvation is what Christ is calling us to. Obviously, he wants us to be saved. He wants relationship with us, but with others that we need to go out. So Jesus says, come follow me. Thank you. That is my feeling for today. Yeah. Can I pray briefly? You can come. Come. Father, I thank you for the Word. I thank you for your Holy Spirit, which infills into us your life and your love and shows us where we need to be, what we need to be doing, what we need to be saying. And Father, I thank you for your Word which fills in our life and builds godliness. And Lord, you ask us and you call us to be godly, to be holy people, to be righteous, to be set apart for you. And Father, I pray that you would empower us for your kingdom work. Lord, you would empower us to have our eyes open and have our heart open and have our spiritual eyes open for your leading. Lord, I pray that this week that everyone here would have an opportunity to speak your good news and your peace into their life. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.